Ad Israel, Amrim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company, and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication. Our dramatic program today, Rebecca Gratz, written by Morton Wishengrad, is the second in a series of 13 programs on American Jewish regional history, presented in observance of the 20th year of the Eternal Light program series.
I, Rebecca Gratz of the city of Philadelphia, being in sound health of body and mind, and advanced in years, declare this to be my last will and testament. I commit my spirit to the God who gave it, relying on his mercy and redeeming love, and believing with a fine and perfect faith in the religion of my fathers. Shiviti ad Hashem v'negdi tamid. I have kept the Lord before me ever.
And Rebecca Gratz died in a good old age and full of years, and was gathered to her people. My name is Washington Irving. I knew Rebecca. You know her also, for she has not died. Listen, I shall tell you a story. It was the month of August in the year 1817, and I had gone abroad and had come to Scotland. And there I found myself with my friend, Mr. Walter Scott. And my friend Scott was perplexed.
Irving, it does not go well.
The book, you mean?
Aye, the book. It's clear in my mind, and yet when I come to set it down on paper, it will not unravel.
Put it aside, then. Turn to something else, Scott.
No, I cannot do that. It will be a good romance, I think. And yet it wants something.
Does it?
Aye, it does. Contrast. Irving, what could be a greater contrast to a story of the Crusades than the introduction of a character of the Hebrew faith?
I see, Scott. A Jacob or an Isaac to set against your Ivanhoe. A Rachel or a Leah to set against your Rowena.
Exactly.
Well, I know no Rachel, but...
Yes, Irving?
In Philadelphia, there is a Rebecca.
Aye?
Rebecca Gratz is her name. Scott, it may be that she's a pattern for your character.
Maybe so, Irving. Tell me about her.
We sat together in the castle of Abbotsford, Walter Scott and I, and I told him the story of Rebecca Gratz. It was a fitful story, pieced together from the few fragments that I knew. But he listened intently, and when I'd finished, he lit his pipe again and was silent. Soon after, I left Scotland, and in the following months, I learned with pleasure that Scott was to receive a baronetcy from His Majesty. I had almost entirely forgotten the incident at Abbotsford, when 2 years later, a package came for me.
I took the liberty of unwrapping it, sir.
Oh, thank you, Henry.
Begging your pardon, Mr. Irving, but that's a queer name for a book. Ivanhoe?
Is it, Henry?
It is, sir. Oh, I nearly forgot. This note came with it.
Ah.
Bad news, sir?
Oh, no, Henry, not at all, no. A note from Sir Walter. My dear Irving, how do you like your Rebecca? Does the Rebecca I have pictured here compare well with the pattern you gave me? Well, what do you make of that, Henry?
Sounds like a message in code, Mr. Irving.
No, this is clear enough. Well, thank you, Henry. I'll ring if I need you.
Very good, sir.
I read Sir Walter's Ivanhoe. Yes. And I placed the pattern of Rebecca of York over the pattern of Rebecca Gratz of Philadelphia. A curious exercise. It made me think and remember. Remember the time when great happiness and an even greater sorrow entered her life.
Come in.
Mr. Samuel Ewing.
Oh, won't you come in, please?
Oh, you're younger than I thought.
Well, try not to be so disappointed.
Oh, I'm not disappointed, only I expected to find...
Samuel Ewing, barrister, huh?
Yes.
Well, please sit down, Miss Gratz.
Thank you. You know my name.
Oh, of course I know your name. Miss Rebecca Gratz, Secretary of the Female Association for the Relief of Women and Children in Reduced Circumstances. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Well, it's absolutely inexcusable. Well, you must admit, Miss Gratz, it does sound funny.
As you say it, Mr. Ewing, it does.
Well, Miss Gratz, how do you say it?
The Female Association for the Relief of Women and Children in Reduced Circumstances.
Well, now you see what I mean. Oh, I couldn't help it, Miss Gratz, forgive me.
Of course.
You know, virtue isn't such a bad thing.
It's very kind of you to say so, sir.
No, that isn't what I mean. Virtue's all right, but why must it be so humorless? Women and children in reduced circumstances. Now, why couldn't you just say poor?
Oh. Well, I'm afraid I'm responsible for selecting the name.
You?
Hmm?
Well, you don't look like... Well,
thank you, sir.
Why did you select such a name?
Mr. Ewing, do you read Scripture?
Yes, well...
Scripture does not say, happy is he who giveth to the poor.
Oh, I thought it did.
No, Mr. Ewing. Happy is he who wisely considereth the poor.
Well, is there a difference, Miss Gratz?
Oh, I believe so. Giving isn't the essential thing.
Isn't it?
Oh, no. Giving with delicacy of feeling. That's the essential thing. And I thought the word poor or the word needy would be more humiliating than reduced circumstances. And I'm not quite sure now.
I'm sorry I laughed. You'll excuse it, won't you?
Of course.
Now, how can I help you?
Well, we need legal advice, sir. We wish to found an orphanage.
I'll do whatever I can, Miss Gratz.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing.
Rebecca Gratz and Samuel Ewing. In this meeting for them, a beginning of happiness and sorrow. They met frequently thereafter. They didn't seek the meetings out, and yet somehow they were drawn together. Once, Rebecca Gratz visited the church where Samuel Ewing's father was pastor. And once on a summer day, he found her standing idly outside the congregation Mikveh Israel.
I've missed you, Rebecca.
Have you, Samuel?
I hope you're not taking your legal matters to anyone else.
You seem very anxious to hold a client who pays you nothing.
Oh, I am, Rebecca. Who is... Is that your cantor rehearsing?
Yes. Listen. It's an ancient Sephardic hymn.
Sephardic?
Yes, this is a Sephardic congregation. It was founded by people driven from Spain in 1492.
Oh. My grandfather was driven from England. I suppose America meant a good deal to grandfather and to your father.
More than you know, Samuel. Let me show you how much. Huh? Look closely at this brick wall. What do you see?
Just a wall.
Oh, Samuel, look again. Look sharply. Do you see here, on top, this crack here?
Oh, yes, I do see something. Well, what is it?
Once it was a door. A secret passage ran from the altar through this wall.
A secret passage?
Yes, you see, they didn't know what to expect in America. They knew only what they had found in Spain.
Oh, yes.
So they built a secret passage against a time of persecution. And then, when they had lived here only a few years, they walled the door in, just as you see.
Oh, poor devils.
Oh, Samuel, you mustn't pity them. They were very proud and stiff-necked. You know, sometimes I think they preferred persecution to pity.
Well, I'm glad they found their rights and their liberties here.
Oh, they didn't want that either.
What?
Neither rights nor liberties.
No?
Only right. And liberty.
Oh, I see what you mean. Rebecca, you should have been a lawyer.
No, Samuel.
Oh, you are perverse. Now, why do you say no?
Well...
Yes?
If I had been a lawyer, perhaps I never would have met you.
Rebecca, it's time for candle blessing.
Yes, Mother.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by thy commandments
and commanded us to kindle the Sabbath light. Rebecca,
you love him, don't you?
I think so, Mother. I didn't know it was so plain.
I love you, too. That's why I could tell.
Thank you, Mother. What do you want me to do?
Only what you think is right, Rebecca. But try to remember that for us, the house is a synagogue. A father and mother are high priests in a house of worship. We trust you, Rebecca.
Sometimes I wish you didn't. This way, it's as though the fate of the entire congregation rested on my shoulders.
Doesn't it?
Does it, Mother?
Everyone must answer that question for himself. It isn't easy, Rebecca. But you'll have to find the answer by yourself.
And even while Rebecca was pondering the answer to the question, Miriam Gratz, her mother, died on a Friday without the notice of an hour's illness. She was an excellent woman and perhaps as much prepared to meet death unwarned as any human being could be. Yet for the living, it was a grievous loss. My father asked me to give you all his sympathy.
Oh, Samuel. Oh, it's so good to feel surrounded by friends. Everything is to be endured, save loneliness.
Your dress, Rebecca, it's torn.
Oh, no, not torn, Samuel, it's cut. A cut to the width of 4 inches in the garments of the mourners.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Don't be sorry. Do you know what the rabbi said to me as he was about to cut the garment? He said, "Stand up, Rebecca. Stand up to meet your affliction."
Rebecca, I can't bear it any longer.
You mustn't speak, please.
But all I'm trying to tell you is that I...
Don't you think I know? Oh, I think a woman always knows when a man loves her. Oh, Samuel, you know, even my mother knew.
Or did she, Rebecca? What did she say?
She said I had to decide for myself.
Have you?
Yes. I've decided, Samuel. I've decided that I love you with all my heart.
Oh.
And that I can't marry you.
But you love me.
Yes, but I can't help that. And neither can I help the fact that now on the Sabbath I shall be the one to light the candles.
I won't press you, Rebecca. I won't press you. But I cannot accept your answer. Maybe I shouldn't have spoken now. But Rebecca, I am going to speak again.
There are those who can be eloquent on their own suffering, and for them the pain is mitigated, for they console themselves with expression. But for Rebecca Gratz and Samuel Ewing, there was acquaintance with the mute, blunt-edged grief that tears the heart. They met, they sat together, they looked at one another, and they departed. And when they met again and when they spoke, there was still silence. It couldn't last that way, they knew it. On a raw day, when the sky was a single cloud to the horizon, Rebecca Gratz and Samuel Ewing met once again.
Rebecca, I'm speaking now.
Oh.
Yes, I'm asking you to marry me.
Oh, Samuel. I can't abandon my faith.
I'm asking you again, Rebecca.
Samuel, the sun will go down by itself without my assistance, but my faith... It depends on me.
Well?
Don't you see, mine is an ancient tradition. It's so ancient, Samuel. Don't you think it's worth preserving?
It separates us.
Not as human beings.
Oh, I hate things that separate people.
Do you hate your own religion? It separates you from me.
Oh, I don't want to argue, Rebecca. We're alike.
Oh, where in all the world are two things alike? Are there two blades of grass? Are there two grains of sand exactly alike? No. And yet, is the world worse off for these differences?
Rebecca, please stop being a philosopher. I want to marry you.
I can't.
I knew it would be like this. I hoped otherwise for weeks and months, but I knew. It's like the thing you told me when your mother died and they cut your garment for the time of mourning.
You remember that?
Oh, yes, Rebecca, I remember. Rise and stand to meet your affliction. Go forth to meet it.
Yes, Samuel.
I thought of everything. I spoke to my father. I racked my head for a solution. If you won't enter my faith, I could enter...
Enter mine? Samuel! You are as steeped in your father's tradition as I am in mine. You would never be happy.
Oh, yes,
no,
but...
No. And a Jew may not proselytize. To see converts is forbidden.
I remember a phrase I heard from the rabbi. The righteous... of all nations shall have part in the rewards of the future world.
Well, you should marry a rabbi, Rebecca.
Don't be bitter. I can stand anything, Samuel, but not your bitterness.
Oh, please, I've made you cry. I'm sorry.
No, I...
Oh, when your eyes are wet this way, it's like the shining of your Sabbath candles. It's all right, Rebecca, it's all right.
Please.
I'll take you back to your house.
And Samuel Ewing returned Rebecca Gratz to the house she had never left. There is no wound so deep in the living flesh that it cannot heal. The years passed and Samuel Ewing remained her friend. And then in the year 1810, Samuel Ewing came to see her.
Congratulations, Samuel.
You know?
Elizabeth told me.
Oh.
Oh, I'm very glad you're marrying my friend.
I've told her about you.
Oh, Samuel, you shouldn't have done that.
Oh, no, it was no more than right. I'm very fond of Elizabeth. I hope I'll be a good husband.
You will be.
You'll come to my wedding?
Oh.
I always wanted Rebecca Gratz to be at my wedding.
I'll come, Samuel. Of course I'll come. Oh.
Does he really look like me, Rebecca?
Oh.
Hmm?
It's hard to tell. I should say he looks more like a vegetable.
Well, he does at that.
Oh.
Elizabeth and I, well, thank you for the gift. He'll be handsome in it.
I have another gift for him. May I?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh.
See? Look, he likes to be held.
When I was a child and my father had returned from the synagogue on Sabbath, he would place his hands on our heads and bless us. And then he would say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace."
Thank you, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
Why don't you marry?
Oh! Oh!
Well?
Have you seen our new rabbi?
Oh, yes, yes.
Does he want to marry you, Rebecca?
I don't know.
You'll forgive my saying so, but Rabbi Lesser isn't a very handsome man.
You know, I'm a very tactless woman.
Yeah.
Yes, once when he could hear me, I wondered aloud how so much wisdom could be entrusted to such an ugly body.
Oh, well, that was tactless.
Awful.
And what did your rabbi say?
Oh, he smiled. And then he asked, "Rebecca, what kind of vessel does your father keep his wine in?" "A common earthen vessel," I answered. He smiled again. "Why doesn't he keep the wine in a container of precious metal?"
"It would get sour."
That's what I told him.
I suppose he had an answer?
An answer from the Talmud.
Oh.
Wisdom is safest with ugliness. For beauty is a provocation to vanity. And vanity is the enemy of wisdom.
Ah, I see. Well, will you marry him?
Oh, Samuel, no. I'm an old spinster. I'm set in my ways. I'm very fond of my own privacy. I'll just stay as I am and hope for the best.
That isn't good enough, Rebecca.
Thank you, Samuel. But there's the orphanage and the nursery. And did you know I'm thinking of organizing a Sunday school? I am. It isn't much, Samuel, but it will keep me.
It was like Rebecca Gratz not to run away, to seek no retreat from life. She entered into all the struggles of her society and her world, and somehow she became purified in the moral climate she created. She was a seed planted in fertile soil, and her roots were a faith in her tradition. And many hundreds of miles away, Sir Walter Scott sensed this from my story. Whatever else Ivanhoe is, Sir Walter has written her enduring monument in the last chapter of his novel.
Among our people, since the time of Abraham, have been women who contributed their thoughts to heaven and their actions to works of kindness to men, tending the sick, feeding the hungry, and relieving the distressed. Among these will Rebecca be numbered. Say this to thy Lord, should he chance to inquire after the fate of her whose life he saved.
Rebecca of York and Rebecca of Philadelphia, centuries separated, yet the same. And in the fullness of her years, Rebecca Gratz died and was gathered to her people.
I, Rebecca Gratz, being in sound health of body and mind, and advanced in years, declare this to be my last will and testament. I commit my spirit to the God who gave it.
Relying on his mercy and redeeming love, and believing with a fine and perfect faith in the religion of my fathers. Shiviti ad Hashem lenegdi tamid. I have kept the Lord before me ever.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. S. Harrison Dugal of Philadelphia, prominent community leader and chairman of the Philadelphia Patron Society of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Dugal.
Sir Walter Scott did, indeed,
write an enduring monument to Rebecca Gratz when he patterned his Rebecca of Ivanhoe after the Rebecca Gratz
of Philadelphia, a woman of proud and courageous piety whose life's work was motivated by her abiding love of humanity. But even more enduring, I believe, is the honored place accorded to her in the annals of American Jewish education. Here, the impact of her far-sighted pioneering efforts is felt even today, as Jewish youngsters learn the true meaning of Judaism and prepare their adult life as ethical and productive Jews who can fulfill their roles as responsible and religious Americans. This year marks the 125th anniversary of the founding of the Hebrew Sunday School Society in Philadelphia. Rebecca Gratz was the principal organizer and its superintendent for more than 25 years. Many great and beloved Jews whose names will live through American Jewish history had early ties with the Hebrew Sunday School Society. Among them were the renowned rabbi, Dr. Sabato Moraes, founder and first president of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and Dr. Cyrus Adler, president of the seminary from 1915 to 1940. Dr. Moraes devoted 46 years to the society, visiting its schools, explaining the weekly Bible lesson, and teaching the chant of Hebrew prayers and hymns. Dr. Adler received a good part of his Jewish training and inspiration at the Hebrew Sunday School, as did his mother before him, and was a graduate of the school. Rebecca Gratz left to the Jews of America a rich legacy, just as she gave new stature to women in a period when they were considered productive only as housewives and mothers. She justly belongs in our Hall of Fame, along with Emma Lazarus, Rebecca Kohut, Henrietta Zold, and those others who have played noble roles in shaping and enriching Jewish life. Sir Walter Scott could not have had a more suitable model for the Rebecca he immortalized in his great classic.
Thank you, Mr. Dogo. Our Eternal Light drama today, Rebecca Gratz, was written by Morton Wishengrad and was the second in a series of 13 programs on American Jewish regional history, marking the 20th year of the Eternal Light program series. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. Featured in the cast were Joan Loring as Rebecca Gratz and Court Benson as the narrator, Washington Irving. Others in the cast were Reynold Osborne, William Griffiths, Alan Bergman, Claudia Morgan, and Sarah Fussell. We invite you to join us next week when the Eternal Light presents Photographer in Buckskin, a drama by Mark Siegel. This is Bill Wendell. Our program was directed by Kenneth McGregor. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication.
This is the NBC Radio Network.